We began last week, the very end of the Shia, talking about the Melacha of Tzeda. So those who are learning Daf Yomi, hopefully definitely have Tzeda very, very much on their minds. Almost finished the series of Tzeda. So when it comes to Melacha of Tzad, Melacha of Tzeda, so strangely enough, it becomes almost a springboard for the Rishonim to discuss so many different klolim and sodos in terms of Rosh Shabbos. So we're going to begin by talking about what starts out almost like a little bit of a technical issue in terms of Melachas Tzad, but very, very quickly becomes very, very much the beginning of a discussion about some very fundamental yisodos that apply down to Tzad, but of course apply to all the Lamedes Melachas as well. There is a sugya that appears in two places, in the third parak of Masechet Shabbos, and then it appears in Masechet Beitza as well. It talks about the trapping of bees, but particularly for the person who's not particularly interested in trapping the bees. So come the Gemara describes as follows. The person has a beehive, and bees flying around inside the beehive, and he wants to cover over the beehive. He wants to cover the beehive either because it's raining, he doesn't want the honey to get ruined inside, or because it's too hot, he wants to protect the honey inside the beehive. So he wants to cover over the beehive or something, but in the process of doing so, he is going to trap the bees. So the question is, can he do that or not? So the Braisa, in both places, uses a very, very vague phrase. It says, yeah, it's okay, not so terrible. As long as the person doesn't plan on doing Tzeda, then it's going to be okay. So it sounds like the Gemara is hiding behind the principle that we're familiar with, called Dovah Sheh Rizkavim. We spoke about this many, many times with Machlokes HaTanoim, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. If a person does an action, and then there's a chance that that action may result in a malacha, even though the action per se is permissible, but it may result in a malacha happening. So that's what's called a dover she'en miskavim. So Rabbi Yehuda holds that's a problem. Rabbi Shimon holds that's okay. We have the possibility of Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Shimon miskavim is mutter. So at first glance, it sounds like this braisa is hiding behind the view of Rabbi Shimon, that dover she'en miskavim is mutter. And therefore, as long as you're not miskavim to be tzad, everything is wonderful. So come to Rishon and Rabban with the question, wait a second. This is not a dover she'en miskavim. This is what we call a psik reisha. We've spoken about this also many times. If I do action X, and there's a chance that Y may happen, Y is the malacha. If it's only a chance that Y may happen, then I'm okay. But if I know for a fact, or pretty sure for a fact, that Y is going to happen, that's what's called a psik reisha. And a psik reisha is problematic. So the Gemara says in a few places, the Bayev Rabba Demet Rabban, Mod Rishim Upsig Reisha. Rishim agrees in a situation of Upsig Reisha. So how could the Gemara say, Bavashle is Kabin Latsud? That's not going to help me. Even if the Bryce is following Rabbi Shimon, but isn't it inevitably going to be trapped? If I cover over the beehives, obviously the bees are going to get trapped. So how can we hide behind Dabba Shimon's Kavin? Isn't that Dabba Shimon's Kavin? This trumps Dabba Shimon's Kavin. This is what's called the murder of Rabbi Shimon, Ripsik Reisha. That's the Kashi Old Rishon of Hollywood. So there are two fundamentally different approaches in the Rishonim. So the Mordechai, who's following in the footsteps of a Tosfos that says it, a little bit of a different nuance in the sugya, but the basic mahalach that the Mordechai gives is that, no, it's not quite a psik reisha. Why not a psik reisha? Because there's another outlet in this hive. Again, I don't know whether I'd want to be near this beehive or the other outlets in it, but there's another outlet in the hive as well. There's a little bit of a hole for the bees to get out. And therefore, even though the person is covering over the beehives, it's not really a psik reisha that the bees are going to be trapped, because they really could come out. So when in Vajra is kavan latsud, it doesn't mean literally just kavana itself is the problem. The problem is either if it's derech kavana or even if it's not derech kavana, it would be a problem. If it's a real bona fide psik reisha of tzeda, but if it's not a bona fide psik reisha of tzeda, then is it going to be mutter. So basically, the Mordechai says this gemara is not saying anything. This gemara is not saying anything different than any other gemara. The basic rule is dover she'en miskavim is mutter, but a psik reisha is also. Now, the braisa is a little bit misleading by sounding like this would be mutter. It's only mutter because it happens not to be a psik reisha. But the Tur in Ulcha Shabbos, when he quotes this sugya, he takes the Gemara Mamash at face value. If the Gemara says, Vavashalei is kavan latsud, so the Gemara said it's okay. As long as you're not mechavan latsud, it's all right. It's a psik reisha. So the Tur seems to be saying, who cares? That we ignore the fact that it's a psik reisha. Nor that it's a psik reisha. Everyone knows a psik reisha is also. So what does the Tur mean when he says that it's okay, even though it's presumably going to be a psik reisha? So many, many different achronim have different biurim as to what the Tur is driving at. And depending on what you think this Tur is driving at, it's going to impact greatly on what you think about psik reishas and of shem skavins in general. So we know, we have documented Machlokes the Mordechai and the Torah. Are you allowed to trap bees if you know for a fact they're going to be trapped, even though that wasn't really what Kavana was? The Mordechai says, if you know they're going to be trapped, Sikreshan's Asur. According to the Torah, even if you know they're going to be trapped, as long as it wasn't Mechavet Tekach, that's going to be Mutter. So what's the Machlokes? What are they arguing about? So even though the Gemara makes a statement that Moedir Rishim Rup Sikreshan, there is a Machlokes Apoiskim, but that klal, a Moedir Rishim Sikreshan, applies to only Yisurim Deraisa, but applies even to Yisurim Derabanan. So what if I do action A, knowing full well that action B is going to happen, but action B happens not to be Malacha Deraisa. Action B happens to only be an Issa Midderabanan. So some poskim say that that's okay. That's what the Tumas Hadeshin writes. Yeah. As long as the issue involved at worst is only the rabbanic issue, so they were never gazed up segregations on Yisurim Derabanan. That would be a sweeping statement. So why would that be applicable here for the Torah? Why would that help the Torah? Because here we're only dealing with the Derabanan. Why is it only a Derabanan? But Tzedas and Tzeda Malach Deraisa is a throwback that we mentioned last week. That the Mishnah tells us that the only time something is Tzeda Deraisa is only with Yesh Bemino Nitzar, only with something that is normal to be trapped. If it's a type of a species of animal that's going to be trapped. But a bee, presumably, is something that's aimed Bemino Nitzar, or at least for now, we think that, according to the Torah, that a bee is an aimed Bemino Nitzar, and it's an aimed Bemino Nitzar, it's only a Derabanan anyway. It's a Shalok Yaderach Malach, according to most Rishonim. And since it's not Kedach Malach anyway, it's in Bino Nitzatz on the Derabanan, the creation of the Derabanan would be Mutter. How did the Tumas Hadeshin know such a grandiose statement that the creation of the Derabanan is going to be Mutter? So we got it from a Gemara also that was not that long ago in Daf Yomi, about Keicher the Carmelist. If you remember back in Berker Zurich, the Gemara talks about the guys in the boats and he's trying to pour things over the edge of the boats and he's pouring from the Rosh HaSayochid into the Carmelist ocean and sea. It's only a Carmelist. It's not a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa. Obviously, it doesn't have walls to it, so it's not a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, but it's not a Rosh Hashanah Deraisa either. So it's an only Asam Midirabonim. So let's say if a guy's in a boat and he wants to toss something over the edge of the boat, that would at worst be an Issad Derabonim. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to throw something directly over the edge of the boat, but you're allowed to do it Derech Koichai. It means if you pour some water on top, let's say in the top of the boat, and then some of the water, you know, rolls down and ends up agav into the ocean. So that's okay. The most is kochah be karmelus lo gozru. You would never go there carrying in that manner in a karmelus. Why not? I'm taking for shus yochan and putting into a karmelus. Why? What does that mean? Lo gozru. Why isn't that also? So it was Hadeshin understood because that kind of carrying is really only derech psikreisha. I'm not really planning on throwing it into the ocean. I'm pouring it down the side over the top of the boat. And now it's going to, action A is going to turn to action B, and it's going to go down into the Carmelus. But since it was only the Achpasik Reisha, Psik Reisha was never instituted by Derabanan. If the ocean would have been a Rishis Ram Deraisa, that would have been a Psik Reisha and Deraisa. It's only Psik Reisha and Derabanan. That's what Tumas Hadeshin claims. And the Magen Avraham says, there's no such cloud. That was a special kula, a special unique leniency they gave by Carmelus. It's nothing to do with anything else. There's no such rule to a Psik Reisha. There's no heter of a Psik Reisha just not because it's Derabanan. So when all the dust settles, we do have a machlekes apoiskim. Is there a problem of segregation on Yisurim Derabanan or not? So maybe that's machlekes in the Mordechai and the Torah. Everyone agrees that we're talking about bees. Everyone agrees we're talking about things that aim at Bino Nitzai. So the worst case scenario is it's only Derabanan anyway. If it's only Derabanan, so the Torah is okay. Segregation is okay by Derabanan. And the Mordechai, who said that's a problem, so he said no, that segregation would be a problem by Derabanan as well. So that's one beer in some poskim. Explain the machlekes in the Mordechai and the Torah. But there's a totally different way of understanding this machlekes. Maybe one could argue that psikreisha does apply to Yisurim Derabanan. We're not so sure that this qualifies as a psikreisha. What's the issue? If I have a beehive and I throw a towel on top of the beehive and there's no hole for the bees to leave, so why would anybody think that's not a psikreisha? So there is a famous Gemara that appears in Masechet Shabbos, also not that long ago in Perek Avoyna. But the Gemara talks about different kinds of psikreisha. There's what's called a psikreisha de nichale. There's a psikreisha de lo nichale. Psikreisha de nichale means that I'm doing A and I know B is going to happen, and I'm very happy that B is going to happen. And sometimes you have a psikreisha de lo nichale. I'm doing A and I know B is going to happen. I couldn't care less whether B is going to happen. Lo nichale should not be mistaken to mean that I really don't want it. It doesn't matter whether I don't want it or I couldn't care less about it. Rubu the Rishonim assume that lo nichale just means that as long as it's not nichale, that's called lo nichale. So the Gemara says in Shabbos Kol Gimel that if I do psikreisha lo nichale, that is not an issur d'oraisa. I'm not chayav for that. That's for sure. There's a machlokes in Rishonim, when we say you're not chayav for psigresha lo nichale, does that mean that it's mutter? Not everything that's not chayav is mutter, or do we say it's potter v'losos? So that's a yaduah mefursim. We spoke about this many times. That's machlokes between the Aruch and Tosfos. The Aruch was one of the for the period of the Gaonim, the Sefer Aruch of Nosim from Bala Aruch. So the Sefer Aruch claims that psigresha lo nichale is mamsh mutter. The mutlech et chilsh lo chachila. I can do anything and everything I want to do, even though I know for a fact that malach is going to happen, as long as I'm not interested in the malach happening, everything's hetogomor. And Tosfos is right, it's not true. Tosfos is right, it's psikreishet lo nichle, not hetogomor. All the Gemara Shabbos Kuf Gimel meant to say was that it's not a deraisa, but it's a loss of a derabonim. So again, that's a very, very famous machlokes. So maybe that's the nekudas of machlokes in the Mordechai and the Tor, that the fellow is throwing the towel on top of the bees, because he wants to protect the honey. So he asked the guy, do you want to trap the bees? He said, I couldn't pop with the bees. Yeah, I don't care, in or out, it doesn't bother me. If it wouldn't be a hot, sunny day, it wouldn't be raining, I wouldn't bother trapping, I wouldn't be covering over the hive anyway. So I have no interest in trapping the bees. My interest is only simply to protect the honey. So that's a psikreishet lo nichalei. So maybe that's the nekudas hamachlokes, that according to the Mordechai, even a psikreishet lo nichalei is a problem, like she deserves places. And the Torah is siding with the Sefer Aruch, that a psikreishet lo nichalei is mamash mutl chachila. So that would be a possible second version of what the machlokes is. So again, we know for a fact there's a machlokes, the Mordechai and the Torah. Can I throw a towel on top of my beehive knowing full well that the bees are getting trapped? Is that a problem or not? So according to the Mordechai, that's also, the Gemara only permitted it if there's a hole for the bees to leave. And the Torah says, no, it's mutter under all circumstances. What's the point of contention? So either they're arguing about psikreishet by the rabbanim, what they're arguing about is this called a psikreishet? Because ultimately it's a psikreishet de lo nichalei. And then if one wants to get a little fancier, so one can almost mix the two pshatim together, like a hybrid pshat between pshat A and pshat B. Maybe the machlokes is like this. Everybody agrees that psikreishet is applied to the rabbanim. And everyone agrees that psikreishet lo nichalei are fundamentally problematic. But what if I combine those two things? What if I say I have a psikreishet de lo nichalei on something that's only the rabbanim? Now what? So maybe one could argue, well, it's something like a trade rabbanim. It's like so far removed from being a deraisa. So first of all, it's a psikreishet lo nichalei. So that's one thing in my favor. Then number two, the Isser involved is only the Rabbanan anyway. So what do you want? An Isser, the Rabbanan, but Shukresh, or Nichol, an Isser, the Rabbanan, maybe that's the issue. So maybe that's the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the Mordechai and the Torah. That everyone agrees that if you just independently ask the Shailah, Shukresh, the Rabbanan is problematic, the answer is yes. If you independently ask the Shailah, Shukresh, or Nichol, is problematic, the answer is yes. But if you combine both of those two things together, then 0 plus 0 equals 1, then all of a sudden it becomes Mutter. Again, we're dealing with bees, so presumably we're only derabbanan. We're dealing with lo nichalei. I couldn't care less. You combine those two factors together, maybe everything gets a green light. Everything goes after Gomer. That's what the Torah says. And the Mordechai says, no, even that's going to be a problem. What would be the source for that distinction? Almost like a little bit of an arbitrary distinction. When you start to add factors themselves, that in of themselves are not significant, and you start to add them together, so that always violates our first rule of math called 0 plus 0 is supposed to equal 0, not supposed to equal 1. So if you don't really accept that psikreishet lo nichalei is mutter, you don't really accept psikreishet by derabanan to be mutter, how does hocus pocus the two of them combine together to be mutter? So we have to have a little bit of a riot to this idea. We can just not make it up. So there's a Tosfos that claims that there's a Gemara that says this. What Gemara? Where Gemara? Who Gemara? It's a Gemara Masechus Sukkah, Daf Lamed Gimel, a very famous Gemara we spoke about many times. The Gemara says that if you have a hadas that has too many berries on it, more berries than it has leaves, so then that hadas is possible. Either because it's not hadar or because it's not called anaf anymore. Different reasons why it's a problem, but Lamais it's possible. Possible Pashas Din HaTorah. But the Mishnah says well, you can easily rectify it and just pluck off the berries. And now you have less berries than leaves, then that us reverts to becoming kosher. The only thing is the Mishnah says that ain't not in the yontif, that you're not allowed to pluck off the berries on yontif. Why not? Because that's called the tikkun kli, because you're fixing it. Before you plucked off the berries on das was possible. Now you make it to being kosher. So that's a problem on yontif. That's like makabe patash, like you're fixing something on yontif. So the Gemara quotes a braisa that says, Blazer Shimon says, that let's say a person wants to eat the berries. The guy's sitting there sick this morning, he's about to shake a little bit, so he's munching a little bit, he's having his, kiddish break there. He's having the kiddish club before Hallel. So he runs out and they're having some cake, and he realizes he wants to have a little fruit also. I don't have any fruit bread for Gideon. No problem. Goes over to Hadassah and plucks off some of the berries and eats those berries. What's the problem? So the Rav Elazar ben Shimon says it's okay. You're allowed to pluck off those berries l'achila. Even though by doing so, you're going to be maksh Hadassah. Before he plucked off the berries, there were too many on them. Hadassah was puzzled. But now since it's been malakat lem to eat them, so then everything's okay. So the Gemara raises the question, why is everything okay? How does that work? The Gemara says, no, it's all right, it's all right. Because the Dabashir Miskavin. Yeah, it's okay. It's no problem. Dabashir Miskavin, everything is great. And the Gemara says, and by the way, this is Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon speaking, and this writes that he was the son of Rabbi Shimon Yochai. So he must have learned this in the cave together. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai taught his son Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, the Dabashir Miskavin is mutter. So the Gemara says, great, Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon is following his father's Shita because he's not being a chavin to fix the das. His kavanah is to eat the berries, everything is hunky. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? I made a Shimon with psikration lo yamos. But this is not a Dabashir Miskavin, this is a psikration. Dabashir Miskavin means like the guy who breaks the chair. And there's a chance he may make a hole, a chance he may not make a hole. But over here, he knows for a fact that malacha is going to happen. It is indisputable that when you pluck off those berries, that hadas is going to become kosher. So that is a makab, that is a psik ratio makabatish. So why shouldn't that be a problem? The Gemara gives some very, very vague ends. The Gemara says, no, it's okay. You know why it's okay? Because the guy is all the hadasim anyway. So he ends. New Mishnah. He has another hadas. And therefore, what? How in the world does that solve the world's problems? The fact that he has an extra das in his back pocket. Why is that okay? So the Sefer Aruch writes, I'll tell you why it's okay. Because now it's a psikresha, the lo nichalei. Kozma, that he needs this hadas to be kosher, so that he very, very much wants the malacha makapatish to happen. He wants to be makshid hadas. That's a psikresha, the nichalei. But when he doesn't have, when he has another hadas anyway, so then it's not a psigration. The lo nichalei, psigration lo nichalei is mutal chetchilus of chetchilah. So the Aruch said, this is my raya. So Tosis has to respond to this raya. Tosis says, according to we who disagree with the Aruch, we hold that psigrations, the lo nichaleis, are still problematic with the Rabbanah. What's going on here? How could the Gemara say, you have another das, you have to be hunky dory? Well, it's not hunky dory at all. It should still be usher, also psigration, lo nichalei. So Tosis says, the answer must be that this Makma Patish here is not really their eyes thing about Patish anyway. There's nothing really, really terrible happening here in terms of their eyes. This is only a Dirabana. This is the worst that you can claim with the Rabbana. Why is it taking clear only with the Rabbana? It's not clear from Tosfos. So the Mechaschinuch writes that it's not a tikkun kli deraisa because it's not a tikkun in the world of Gashmis, in the world of Metzias. If you ask a goyisha, a florist, and ask him, is there anything wrong with a branch that has a bunch of berries on it? What's the difference? What's the difference whether it has 20 berries or 19 berries? So if you ask a rabbi, he'll tell you it's a big difference. If it has too many berries, it's possible. If it has less than the amount of berries of that leaves, that's kosher. So that's a halachic tikkun. So the Mechaschinuch claims that a halachic tikkun can never be deraisa. Only a physical tikkun is deraisa. Hilchos Shabbos was given according to the physical world. It means to determine whether something is called a tikkun, it has to be broken. As the phrase goes, if it ain't broken, don't fix it. Who defines whether something's broken? The oilam, the maintenance workers, the non-Jewish world defines whether something's broken or not. You only ask the rabbi in the Beis Medrash, who's giving a shiur of chasuk and of lulav, whether the lulav is, whether the das is broken or not. If the florist, if the goyish florist says that there's nothing wrong with the das, then the das is not broken. So the Mechaschina claims, whenever you have a halachi tikkun, that can't be their eyes. And he has his raya from the sugya in Maseches Beitza. The Gemara says in the second paragraph of Beitza, now let a turtle Caleb on Shabbos and Yontif, because it's mechzik kimasavin kli. It looks like you're fixing a kli. Beforehand, the kli was tameh, it was off limits. Now you're going to make it tahar. So that's like a tikkun kli. So the Gemara says, mechzik. Doesn't say it's really chayah for that. The Gemara says, it looks like tikkun kli. So he asked the Mechaschinuch, why does it look like tikkun kli? It's, but why is that called looking like a tikkun kli? So the Mechaschinuch says that because there's nothing broken about it. A pot that wasn't toifel, it's not broken. It's tameh. It's not broken. Pot that's missing a handle and you screw on the handle, that's technically deraisa. But if you just toivel the tummy pot, that's not technically deraisa. So the Chassidut developed this whole yisoid that any halachic tikkun can't possibly be deraisa. That's what he claims Tosfos is driving it. The Tach of the Mordechai, the Sukkah quotes other Rishonim who say that's not true. That comparison to Tefillas Kelim is not correct. But Tefillas Kelim, you can't even see a difference. It's not just that it's a halachic tikkun, it's a nothing in the physical world. A kli that was toivel and wasn't toivel looked identical. Hadas with 20 berries and 10 berries looks different. It doesn't concern me in a physical world. The non-Jewish florist couldn't care less about counting berries. So, but he can tell you that looks different. So the Mordechai quotes Rishon who say that when do we say halachic tikkun is not a tikkun deraisa? That means when there's nothing mikol ayin b'chlal. But if there's a hekel ayin, it's just that the hekel ayin doesn't concern me in the physical world, that may still be a derech. So again, that's another machlok. Back to our story. So Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos quotes the possibility that the reason why they're extra, the fellows got extra hadas, and we're not so worried about us plucking off a couple of berries here and there to eat, is because that's a segregation lo nichalei on something that it turns only in the Siddur Rabbanan. So according to Tosfos, we have a gemara that says, as you say, that the gemara, again, back to that gemara and Sukkot, the gemara said that when you pluck off the berries, so it's okay, you can hide behind the Avashem Iskabin. The gemara asked, I, it's a segregation. But so then you have other hadasim around. So how does that matter if you have other hadasim? It makes it lo nichalei, how does it make it mutter? So Tosfos says, well, the Isra is only Dirabbanan anyway. So Isra Dirabbanan done derech, is not a problem. So that model of Tosfos would be really, really good for our sugya in terms of the tour. So we have this running machlokes, the Mordechai and the tour. Are you allowed to just throw a towel on top of your beehive and call it a day? Everything's had to go on. So the Mordechai said, no, you're not going to do that. You have to leave a little hole open, exposed for the bees to fly out. Otherwise, it's also mishum segregation. And the tour said, no, you don't have to go on. It's fine. It's no problem whatsoever. So the Torah said everything is fine, everything is wonderful. How's everything went up to segregation? So we have three different possibilities. Either the Torah holds the whole parsha of segregation, just it was never said under Rabbanan, it's finished, end of discussion. Or the Torah holds that it's only segregation, so therefore even by their eyes, like the Aruch would be mutter. Or to make a little combination of the two, that of segregation, the low nichale, at least on this under Rabbanan, that would at least be okay. So you have a lot of different nuances as to what's going on over here. Now, we take this din that appears in the Gemara that you're not supposed to throw your towel on top of the beehive, which at least according to the Mordechai, most of the Rishon don't hold it. Most of the Rishon hold that there is some kind of a problem if you throw it on entirely, you don't leave a hole out. So it's based on this, but now the Rishon go one step further. So the tour that in turn quotes from the Sefer HaTruma. Sefer HaTruma is Amin HaBarach, or is one of the Bali HaTarishus. So the Sefer HaTruma, Bina Baruch writes that just as the Gemara says, you're not allowed to throw a towel on top of a beehive because that's going to trap the bees. And use it like the Mordechai, if it's for sure going to trap the bees, then for sure you have a problem. So too, you're not allowed to close a box which has flies in it. The guy's got a box on the floor. There's no cover in the box. And he sees there are 20 flies flying around inside. And he wants to sit on top of the box. So he wants to take a cover and throw it on top of the box and sit on top of the box. So the Rebbe Baruch said, you can't do that because if there are flies inside the box, you're going to be trapping the flies. The same way that the Gemara says you can't trap the bees, you can't trap the flies either. So the Torah quotes this Rebbe Baruch and says that it's absolutely wrong on multiple counts. So first the Torah says that he's wrong because he's wrong even by the bees. Even in the case of the bees, it's okay to cover over the bees. So if the Gemara says the favor, you go into the tour of a Vash place, Kavan Motsud, as long as you're not intending to trap the bees, even though you know that the bees are being trapped, the tour doesn't buy into that idea of the Mordechai, there's another hole there. It's totally also, according to Mutter, according to the tour. So if it's totally Mutter, according to the tour, if it's totally Mutter, according to the tour, to throw something on top of the bees in the case of the Gemara. So wasn't it between flies and bees? Of course it's supposed to throw the box, put the cover on top of the box, even though you're inevitably going to be trapping the flies. The Torah says he doesn't even want to discuss the topic. But because he quoted, he has to discuss this. But I'll tell you what, even if I'm wrong, I'm still right. Why? It means even if the Mordechai is right in the case of the Gemara, I don't think he's right in the case of the flies. Manish out of the beast and the flies. So the Torah says that putting a cover on top of flies is mamish a nothing. It's a zero. Why is it nothing? He says, what do you mean you're trapping the flies? The second that you take the cover off, the flies are out to lunch. They're going to fly right out in a second. You never had the flies under your control. The idea of Malachim Tzed is that I corner something in such a way that it's basically my control. So let's say I have a deer. If a deer runs into the house, so it runs into a small room in the house, so I quickly close the door of that deer. So I have cornered the deer. So now if I want to mamish take the deer, I want to shep the deer. So I'll open the door slowly, I'll slip in, I'll grab the deer, and sure, that's the same. So I have put the deer in a place where he is trapped. So well, let's say bees inside the beehive. If I put the bees inside the if I if I put the bees inside the oven, then I throw a towel on top of them. So I have enabled myself to be able to, now I can kind of stick my hand in. I don't want to do that. With the proper gear, I'll be able to grab the bees. The flies, you're never going to be able to hold on to the flies. The second you open a crack, they're all going to be out the flying right out the box anyway, out the opening in the box. So you're never going to really, really have those flies under your control. So he's not so sure that flies even lend themselves to chlal. Maybe if you trap a fly in fly paper or something, and then it's not going anywhere, that's one thing. But if you trap them inside a box, you're never going to really be able to control the flies anyway. And therefore, that's not saved altogether. So the Torah disagrees with the Sefer Truma, both on halachic terms, that he thought that the original Isser of the bees was never really true either. And now he's arguing with Metzias that even if some reason the Mordechai is right vis-a-vis the flies, vis-a-vis the bees, to extrapolate to the flies is not right. So the Beis Yosef has a comment on this tour, this Machlekes Rabbeinu Baruch in the tour, where Beis Yosef opens the whole world out to us. Comes to Beis Yosef and he says, maybe we can differentiate between the bees being Aser and the flies being Mutter based on the following Svarah. And now the Beis Yosef challenges everything we've been saying up to now. Says the Beis Yosef, what are bees? Are bees yesh b'mino nitzayd? Are bees ein b'mino nitzayd? Are bees something that people tend to trap? Are bees things that people tend not to trap? And in the end, it depends if you're a beekeeper or not. So most people, I think, in our world probably would not consider bees to be a tremendous treasure to trap. We would much rather avoid the bees. Other people, though, love bees. Again, they have whole honey industries. So people who make honey, a lot of people have beehives. And they're very happy to trap. They want to try to trap as many bees as they can. So if that's the case, the Beis Yosef argues that it could be our entire premise of the last half hour was incorrect. Don't feel bad. Everyone else disagrees with the Beis Yosef. But the Beis Yosef says it could be that bees are called yesh b'mino nitzayd. If they're yesh b'mino nitzayd, says the Beis Yosef, now I understand why the Mordechai is right. Mordechai made a whole fuss before that of its obsecration. It's also. Yeah, that's because, says the Beis Yosef, because bees are yesh b'mino nitzayd. But Luyitzu, you would have something that's aimed at Mino Nitzah. If you could dig up something that's aimed at Mino Nitzah, so then Takash Adim would be, maybe Segration would be Mutter. Why? Catch this one. Because Segration Adim is a Mutter. Segration Lomichel and Rabban is Mutter. What we said 20 minutes ago, Bedasa Tur, now the Beis Yosef is saying Bedasa Mordechai. He's saying that the only reason why the Mordechai was so machmir when he says you can't throw the towel on top of the beehive, it's gefelach, it's terrible, da, 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 that's because he was looking at bees as being a yesh b'mino nitzayd. But lo yitzu is something would be aiming at, like fly. Nobody has a pet fly collection, the way that I know of. Nobody normal has a pet fly collection. So flies are for sure in b'mino nitzayd. So says the Beis Yosef, taka that would be mutter, that you're allowed to cover the fly box, not because of the Torah's reason that. Because the bees are also mutter. No, not true. The bees are also. Not because of the Torah's reason, because the flies are never really trapped, because you're never able to grab them. No, maybe that's not true. The real reason why it's mutter is up to Beis Yosef, because segregation, lonichalei, is going to be mutter by a derabon. That's the words of the Beis Yosef. That's why if you look at Shulchan Aruch in the Siman about Tzedah, the Shulchan Aruch does not quote this Sefer Truma. He doesn't say that you're not allowed to close the box of the flies, because l'shitaso, it's not a mutter. It means even the machmirim by the bees will be mapped there by the flies. It's the Rama who does it. Rama turns around and says, no, that you're not allowed to, just as you're not allowed to throw the towel on top of the beehive, you're not allowed to put the cover on top of the box either. It's only the Rabbanan, that's right. It's obsecration of the Rabbanan, that's right. It's obsecration of Michal and the Rabbanan, that's right. It's still also. So the Rama throws throws the book at you. That even though he knows flies are derabanan, and he knows that it's a psikrational nichalei, as psikrational nichalei derabanan, it's still awesome with derabanan. Is no head to call psikrational nichalei on derabanan. Doesn't exist in the world of derabanan. In the world of the Shulchan Aruch, it exists because according to the Shulchan Aruch, he deleted the Sefer Truma. He didn't quote the Sefer Truma because he thought it wasn't fundamentally correct. So now hayetzim and advarim between the bees and the flies, we just came out now at a major machlekes apayskim. This is huge. This is goes way, way, way beyond throwing covers on beehives and throwing boxes on top of flies. That's not too relevant for us. But what we can extrapolate from this machlekes, the Mechaber and the Rama, is huge for us. Because the Shulchan Aruch just told us that basically psigreshul nichalei is our problem at the Raises. The psigreshul nichalei, the Rabbanan is on mutter. And the Rama says, lohoi dvamiyon, psigreshul nichalei, even on the Rabbanans are going to be a problem. But then the Rama begins to concede a little. And the Rama lets up a little bit. The Rabbah says as follows. If you want to close a box, even though you know that the flies are getting trapped, you shouldn't do that. But that's only if it's a small box. If it's a pretty big box, then it's okay. Manishtan, a small box from a big box, is very simple. Those who learn the sugyas of Tzeda, if you have to remember quickly, that in order for something to be nitzo, to really, really be called tzad, on the level of the araisa, it's got to be really, really cornered. Just yesterday's daf, all the details. Is a bird called corner? When is a bird called corner? When is a deer called corner? You have shilas, machlekes hatanoim. Not always so clear where that line of demarcation is. But everyone agrees, the basic yesod of tzedek, say, the basic fundamental yesod of tzedek is really very, very simple. Namely, that in order for something to be a concern of tzedek, it's got to be pretty well cornered, pretty, pretty much in a confined area. If it's not such a confined area, then the worst is going to be as a derabbanan. So that's what the Rambam is saying as follows. That if you close a box, and the box is a very small box, so then you did a tzedek d'araisa. Now, I don't mean you just violated the araisa, because it only flies anyway. But you did an act, a maisa, that would have qualified if the flies would have been trapped, would have been a trappable item in a Torah. You did a maisa tzedek that qualifies as tzedek d'araisa. But if it's a bigger box that the flies anyway are flying around in there and you can't really get them cornered anyway, so that the mice had said that you did was only durable anyway. So that's what the Rambam means as follows. A combination of factors. Says the Rambam, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the people God, the Rambam's kavana was as follows. That if you want to sit on the box and you want to throw the cover on top of the box, if it's a big box, so then you have two things in your favor. Number one, it's flies, which is only durable. Number two, it's a big box, which is vital only midrabanan. So if you have two things in your favor, and it's a minonitza, this is derabanan, and it's a big box, this is derabanan, subsequation, lo nichale, and a double derabanan, even the rabbis will concede this one. What's up, derabanan? If it's a small box, so then the maisat seida is a deraisa, the maisat seida. Even though the cheftza of flies is only derabanan, that's subsequation, lo nichale, and a single derabanan, and that's the problem. So when all the dust settles, all Ali Yisaydas, everything, all the Kalonu, Shabbos, Obsecratious, Nichle, Raisa, Rabbanan, one Rabban, two Rabban, ten Rabban, it all emanates from the Tzedah story. It all started with the Sugya of Tzedah, with the flies, with the bees, etc. And the Yetzim Edvarim is that the Shulchan Aruch is Mekel, at least on Obsecratious, the Lon Nichle on the Rabbanan, that the Mechab is willing to be Mekel on. And therefore, he would permit you to sit on the box of flies, even though you know for a fact you're trapping the flies, because it's only derabanan anyway. The Rambam would not permit you to do that. The Rambam would concede that it's a sekresha, a double derabanan, that's going to be okay. So the simple reading of the Rambam is that that's not negotiable. A sekresha, lo nichale, and a double derabanan, we can read the sigh of relief. That's about the lechol hadeis, even according to the machmir view of the Rambam. So, hold off until you sit on boxes of flies, maybe at least on next Shabbos, because even that Rambam himself is not 100% partial. There's a little bit of a monkey wrench, even in that the quote-unquote cool of the Rambam. So it took us a long time to come up with the cool of the Rambam, but even this cool of the Rambam has to be a little bit reevaluated, hopefully. So next week we'll try to pick up with this Rambam again, and then try to see what some of the other big yesaidas related to the Shabbos Kavans, the Psegrations, etc., begin to also emanate from this sugi, which are going to impact on other shilas, really, really nice shilas as well. So again, even though the shilas of the bees and flies are not as relevant for us, but the yesaidas can become critical for us in branching out to all of the Shabbos. Hopefully, next week we'll continue.
Rabbi Sobolowski, if you're machalic between bees and flies, what if you have a bee that's not a honeybee? So, like, I understand honeybees people want to trap. What about a non-honeybee?
Right, I think that even the Beis Yosef, we can see that the bee is worthless and nobody wants to trap it. That's aimed at me, don't need Sadia.
Could we maybe stop the recording?
Okay. Yeah, hold on. Sure.